Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. Now, every sport, whether it's hockey, basketball, football, baseball, whatever, is a copycat league. Again, I've talked about this all the time. You want to know why all these Nick Saban assistant coaches kept getting hired? Because everybody just wanted a little secret sauce from Nick Saban. That, hey, maybe if we get Will Muschamp or Kirby Smart or Jeremy Pruitt, we'll get a little of that Nick Saban secret sauce and we ourselves can win the way Alabama does. And that's no different across any sport. Well, when it comes to the NFL, I'd say the Ravens are a pretty good example of how to do business. They win a lot, eh? The Ravens, the Eagles, the Rams, the Chiefs, the Bills, the teams that win a lot. That's who you should follow. For years, I believed in the Patriot way because I actually thought that was why they were winning, not because they had the greatest quarterback of all time. But now that I've realized that, I've given up on the Patriot way. Like somebody who was once a member of a cult and no longer is. So at some point this weekend, I was perusing Twitter on my phone. I can't even remember what I was doing this weekend that would have made me see this, but I saw this video. Eric DaCosta, the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens, did a post-draft interview with the team's podcast. You know, all these teams have podcasts now, even though they don't have talented podcast hosts that are any interesting, but they get all the best people and they only ask them easy questions. And so I guess that's what Eric DaCosta did. And so they were sitting down with Eric DaCosta, the general manager of the Ravens. Again, I'd say pretty good general manager. And here's what he said about their philosophy when it comes to making picks in the draft.
An important study called The Loser's Curse by Richard Thaler, who's an economist, and Cade Massey, who's a professor at Penn now. And the idea of it basically is that teams simply don't do any better drafting than anyone else. You're all going to be about the same, right? So the idea that you're going to trade up, and basically that the draft is inherently sort of a luck-driven process. Now, I don't believe that, but there is an element of luck involved. So if you think about that and if you accept that premise, then you're trading up for a player that you think is better than anyone else, mm-hmm. right? And you think that that team's going to draft him.
Right.
But most of the time, they're not going to draft that player. Mm-hmm. And so what we've seen over the years is that player is probably going to fall to you. Could he be selected? Yes. But there's no guarantees that that player is going to be better than the player that you end up getting.
Yeah.
So they call it the loser's curse because the team at the top, it's like, oh, he's got the first pick in the draft. Well, you know what? The player that they select, we've seen this many times. Mm-hmm. There's no guarantees that that player is going to be better than the player that gets selected at 25 or 30 mm-hmm. in the first round. Mm-hmm. And so, all things being equal, I know I'm doing a lot of talking about this, but it's a passion of mine. All things being equal, right? The fact that no one really knows who's going to be better than anyone else, the only rational approach is to get more at-bats,
right.
is to pick more.
Tells you right there. And again, this isn't some Mickey Mouse operation. This is Wharton. This is Penn, one of the finest institutions in the country. And he's saying, the loser's curse says when you trade up, you might be trading for a player that the team you think is going to pick isn't even going to pick because they don't see him the way you see him. It reminds me of a story Floyd told, which was in the 1999 draft. The Tennessee Titans loved Javon Curse, the edge rusher out of Florida. Now, Javon Curse wasn't necessarily an edge rusher because he had played in a lot of different spots at a lot of different positions at Florida. So some teams didn't know what he was going to be. Is he going to be an off-ball linebacker? Is he going to gain weight and move inside to DT? He played some safety in college at Florida, so he could play anywhere. But they saw Javon Curse, and they were licking their chops for an outside defensive end in the 4-3. And as the picks came and came and came, they didn't think they'd get Javon Curse. All of a sudden, they're like, we may get Javon Curse. And Tampa Bay, I believe this is how the story goes, Tampa Bay was on the clock, one pick ahead of the Titans. They picked up the phone and they called Tampa Bay. They couldn't wait any longer. They said, all right, we want to make a trade. we want to move up one spot. We'll give you a fourth to be able to do it. And Rich McKay, who was the general manager at Tampa Bay at the time, said, no, we'd love the fourth, but we really like the player we're going to pick, so we're going to pick that player instead. And Floyd said his heart sunk, and he said, who is it? Said it's a defensive lineman, and he thought, oh, no, no, no. And Rich McKay said, Booger McFarland. Floyd said he couldn't have hung that phone up fast enough. Okay, see ya. We get Javon Kearse. Again, you're trying to trade up for a guy that they weren't even going to take. And what is Eric DaCosta saying? Again, and I agree with him when he says most people believe that the draft is luck. It's not really luck because some teams are better at evaluating prospects better than others. And I would argue, too, at the same time, that some teams have better coaches and thus develop the players better. But basically, if you want to build a good team, you need to take more swings at the pinata. You need to have more throws at the dartboard. And that is one of the better general managers in the NFL citing a study from the Wharton Business School. And yet, what did the Titans do? The Titans picked a guy number one in the draft that they just had to have in spite of massive trade offers. This guy would not have been one of the top three quarterbacks taken in last year's draft. And according to the consensus, he won't be the top quarterback in next year's draft. But they just had to have him. We live in a society where everybody wants everything right now with no waiting involved. People like new cars over used cars because a new car is new. But everybody knows there's more value in used cars, right? You drive a car off the lot, depreciation sets in. What's the difference between a 2024 and a 2025? Credit cards, for instance, allow people to buy depreciating assets that they can't afford right now with the idea. And again, we all know this, even if you have a bunch of credit card debt, it's already baked in. You're going to pay significantly more for buying because you don't have the money right now. The Titans did the same thing. If the Titans had made the deal with the Giants, not only would the Titans have moved back only two spots, but they would have gotten another three throws at least at the dartboard. And I say maybe four because I bet you could have gotten the Giants to include pick 99, which was their second, third rounder in the deal too. But the Titans just had to have Cam Ward this year. Is it because the owner has no patience? Is it because they talk themselves into this wonderful story in La La Land about Incarnate Word to Washington State to Miami? Is it because they really think he's Joe Burrow? I don't know. But again, the Ravens don't subscribe to that theory. They say you need more at-bats. The Penn Business School doesn't get caught up in the warm fuzzies of zero-star recruit to Incarnate Word to Washington State. And so I actually wanted to read the study myself. I clicked on it today at like 12:15, and it's like 30 pages long, and it is detailed. So I stuck it into ChatGPT, and I said, analyze the story for me. Here you go. Here are the three facets of this major study. And again, this isn't Jared Stillman's opinion. This is the Penn Business School and the study that they have done. Number one, the overvaluation of top picks. This is from ChatGPT. The study finds that NFL teams tend to overvalue early draft picks. Despite high expectations associated with top picks, the actual performance and surplus value of these players often do not justify their costs. Two, inefficient market practices. The widespread use of a standardized draft value chart by teams to guide trades is highlighted. The authors argue that this chart assigns inflated values to early picks, leading to inefficient market behaviors. Number three, behavioral biases in decision-making. The research suggests that cognitive biases, such as an overconfidence and the allure of potential star players, influence teams to make suboptimal decisions, deviating from what would be expected in a rational, efficient market. Isn't that what we're talking about? Again, the behavioral biases in decision-making, overconfidence and the allure of a potential star player. But Jared Patrick Mahomes influences teams to make suboptimal decisions, deviating from what would be expected in a rational, efficient market. I'd say Baltimore knows what they're doing. They drafted Lamar Jackson, and they did it with their second first-round pick in 2018. Green Bay waited on Aaron Rodgers to come to them. The Titans only drafted Derrick Henry because they had three picks in the second round. But yet, we're supposed to say, screw the study. Cam Ward is the guy. Because I don't think the Ravens are doing that. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I took what PK said was the package that the Giants offered for Cam Ward, two ones and two twos. I stuck it into ChatGPT. I said, all right, analyze this on the loser's curve. Again, this Wharton Penn Business School study, and tell me what you make of it. What ChatGPT had to say next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
There was a great piece that that a guy put out about you a few weeks ago in The Athletic. And he put a piece in there that said the book Moneyball is what changed everything for you. Is that true?
That is true, yeah. So I was in NFL Europe. I was an undrafted free agent in 2003 with the New York Jets. Terry Bradway was the general manager at the time. Herm Edwards was the head coach. And they brought me in, didn't make the team. And then later in the season, they re-signed me and then allocated me to NFL Europe. And while playing in Europe, I end up getting injured and put on IRR. And at the time, they sent all the players who were on injured reserve to Birmingham, Alabama, which Health South. That's where Health South was, and that's where we went when we were on injured reserve. And Rochelle, my wife, was with me, and we were in this hotel, and I'm just bored out of my mind, and you know I'm a big reader as is, and so we went to the bookstore, and that's right around the time Moneyball came out, pretty close to it at least, and you know I bought it, and I devoured that book in like 2 days, and I think people think it was about on base percentage, but it was about market efficiencies. I mean, I was just blown away.
That was Chad Brinker a year and a half ago talking about, just love Moneyball and market inefficiencies. And I loved it. And we're bringing AI to the Titans. We're bringing analytics to the Titans. We're going to be smarter. Again, Chad Brinker, yeah, he played football, but it's not as if Chad Brinker was O.J. Simpson at USC. Chad Brinker was a Scarbini. And then he went to the Packers in a scouting role. Then he went to business school, got his MBA from Kellogg. We all know the AI cancer curing model that we made fun of and so on and so forth. But Chad Brinker projects as this intellectual, analytic football guy, a true executive. He's not some old ball coach who's got his dip in his mouth and saying, "Hey, I tell you, that man right there, man, I tell you, he goes out there and does it." You know, he's not trying to be John Gruden, right? That's his brain. In fact, I remember when Mike Vrabel got fired and the Titans, they told me, they were like, "You'll see where our analytics are headed. Vrabel and his guys, they don't know anything about analytics. They're in the Stone Age, J-Rob and Cowden, and they don't know what to talk about. But analytics." So we take the Wharton Business School, and we take their study. It's called The Loser's Curse. We just played the cut where Eric DaCosta, the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens, says what it tells you is you need more throws at the dartboard. Don't get too caught up in third pick, fourth pick. And I know it's ironic because I spent the first hour of the show today complaining about the first pick in the NHL draft, but the NHL draft is very different from the NFL draft. And yet the Titans, with Mr. Moneyball running the team, the analytic guru from Kellogg, Northwestern Business School, why did they spit in the face of that research? So I asked ChatGPT. I gave them what Paul Kaharsky said the package was for Cam Ward, that the Giants offered two ones and two twos. I asked ChatGPT, quote, based on the loser's curse study, should the Titans have taken the Giants' reported offer, Tennessee trades pick 1-1, which was Cam Ward, for NYG pick 1-3, Abdul Carter, pick 34, 2026 first, and 2026 second. And you will never guess what ChatGPT said. Again, this is Brinker's wheelhouse, right? Analytics, business school, AI. I mean, this is Brinker, right? ChatGPT said, yes. Based on the logic of the loser's curse study by Massey and Thaler, the Tennessee Titans should have seriously considered accepting the Giants' reported offer to move down from pick 1.01 used on quarterback Cameron Ward to pick 1.03 and acquired additional draft capital. According to the loser's curse study, top picks are systemically overvalued relative to their actual on-field production. Teams that trade down tend to generate more surplus value, the difference between player performance and salary costs. The decision makers are often overconfident in their ability to identify superstars at the top of the draft. And the expected performance drop between picks 1 and 3 is minor, while the added value of extra high picks like 34 and the future first and second is substantial. In evaluating the offer, the loser's curse logic says, and again, this is ChatGPT, this isn't me. The loser's curse logic says the difference between Cameron Ward and whoever might be at 1.03 is marginal in expected value, but large in perceived value. Four premium picks are more likely to yield cost-effective talent and reduce risk. Quarterbacks in particular have high bust rates and are the most overvalued position in the draft. The behavioral insight. Passing on the trade is likely a result, again, this is ChatGPT. Passing on the trade is a likely result of overconfidence in Cam Ward's upside. Gee, who could have seen that coming? Loss aversion, the fear of missing out on their guy. Jared, what if the Giants get him and he turns into Mahomes? And sunk cost thinking from internal scouting investments. Bottom line, yes, the Titans should have accepted that offer. They passed on a value-maximizing move to pursue a high-variance outcome consistent with the loser's curse decision-making trap. It then asked, would you like an expected value breakdown of both options to quantify the decision further? To which I said, yes. Give me the value, ChatGPT. ChatGPT, here's the expected surplus comparison. Titans keeping pick 1.01, Cameron Ward, 10 units. Titans trading down for pick 1.03, 2.02, and a 2026 first and second round pick, 24.5 units. Net gain from the trade, plus 14.5 units. Conclusion, quote, the Titans could have more than double their expected surplus value by accepting the Giants' offer. A classic case of avoiding the loser's curse by trading down. So somebody explain something to me. Yeah, I got one guy, the distinguished gentleman in the YouTube chat, and I love that man. But again, we thought for a while he was Rand's burner because he was so, so defensive of Rand for so long. Let Rand cook and, oh, it's lockstep and a design tank and everything else. And he's saying, now, who cares what the Ravens think? I care what the Ravens think. You know why I care what the Ravens think? Because the Ravens are smart. That's why I care what the Ravens think. But again, I'm looking at Brinker. I'm looking at the Titans. Isn't Chad Brinker supposed to be Mr. Analytics? Isn't Chad Brinker supposed to be Mr. Business School? Isn't Chad Brinker supposed to be Mr. Moneyball? And again, the cut that we ran, what did Brinker say? You know, people think that Moneyball is about on base percentage, but it's not. It's about market inefficiencies. So here is a study that says, here's the market inefficiencies in the NFL and why NFL teams screw up. This is from Wharton, Penn's Business School, one of the most reputable business schools in the country. Here's the analytics that say the expected value of the trade with the Giants was 24 and a half units, and Cam Ward represents 10 units. Again, this isn't Jared Stillman's wheelhouse we're talking about. My wheelhouse would be, oh, here's Bill Polian and Rick Spielman and Mark Dominic and all these former general managers that Jared has a lot of respect for, and here's them saying that the Titans absolutely should have done XYZ. That's my wheelhouse, and I'll own it because I care what those guys think. But that's not Brinker's wheelhouse. Brinker's wheelhouse is business school, analytics, Moneyball. Here's Penn's Business School that, again, has a detailed survey saying, do not take Cam Ward. The reason teams take quarterbacks like Cam Ward is because they talk themselves into, what if he's not the guy? Or what if he goes to the Giants and he becomes Mahomes? Or what if he, that's the trap. So if Chad Brinker is so smart, will somebody explain to me what it is that he saw in Cam Ward that made him go against everything that the things he believes in, his brand, says don't do? You know, it's funny because I was texting this with Willie. You know, I feel like Willie Donick and I, we've known each other now for a decade, and our relationship has been up and down at times, really more down at the beginning and up recently. But Willie and I have really bonded over the trade package that the Titans turned away from the Giants. And I sent Willie what ChatGPT said the Titans should do. And Willie was like, I brought up that study so many times. I brought it up with Caroline. I've brought it up with Derek. I've brought it up with Adam. We've talked about it on the show so many times. Blah, blah, blah. And then he sends me an article from The Athletic. And Willie said, NFL teams know the best way to draft, so why aren't they doing it? This is where I saw the study. The underrated part of the article are the examples of people who acknowledge that the study has merit and yet still can't resist taking their guy when the moment comes. Again, why, if Chad Brinker is so smart, because he went to business school, if Chad Brinker loves Moneyball because it's about market inefficiencies, if Chad Brinker's in charge of the analytics department, that apparently, and I would say that the Titans did run numbers when John Robinson was the general manager, but that the Titans were convinced was in the Stone Age under John Robinson, why did Chad Brinker do the one thing? Business school, the analytics, the numbers, the market efficiencies. Why did he do the one thing that they said don't do? Somebody give me that answer. I guarantee you, Chad Brinker's heard of that study before. So the Ravens will do it, but the Titans won't? Again, I'm not saying what they should or shouldn't have done. That's what AI, Brinker's thing, the one that finds cancer. That's what AI is saying the Titans should have done. 24 and a half units compared to 10 units. So why go against everything he believes in? Unless he doesn't really believe in business school. Unless he doesn't really believe in Moneyball. Unless he doesn't really believe in analytics or AI. Again, I'm not chastising him right now. I'm just saying, why? Give me an answer. I'd love to know. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones on all of this. 615-737-1025. And I have a theory. I have a theory. We'll get to it next. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063. The game, it is time for the fourth annual 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament. Cromwell Media, along with partners Fox 17, Outfront Media, and Social Indoor, are proud to announce that we'll be back at the Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th, to make a difference while having a great time. You can join us and a few guest media members, athletes, and musicians, such as Tegan Gase, who was just hosting the BCCMA Awards. She will be out there on the links as we raise money for Folds of Honor. Donations will go to provide life-changing scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Also, let's talk about Nashville's best deal. This one is delicious. Nashville's best deal of the week is celebrating National Barbecue Month. Right now, get $50 off a gift card to Central Barbecue in Capitol View for half off right now. Try their new barbecue sampler, ribs, wings, and barbecue sliders. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals right now while supplies last.
I've had a lot of conversations with Amy since January, and I'll just say this. Amy's fully on board with the plan. And she wants to become one of the elite franchises of the league. She believes in what we're doing. I really appreciate her and her support and how you know, she's really empowered us to do our jobs. I mean, I'm speaking on her behalf right now. You know, we hired Mike to lead that process, particularly building this football team. You know, I think you know, she really believes in what we're doing, and We want to make her proud, you know. So we're working hard to do that.
So that was Chad Brinker talking about, hey, Amy, you know, she's behind us 100%. So again, I use the loser's curve, which is a study done by the Wharton Business School 12 years ago. Eric DaCosta, the Ravens, supposedly they subscribe to it, and it says, hey, do not get too caught up in our picks, our guy, our spot. It says, again, using ChatGPT to summarize, if the Titans had taken the Giants' reported offer, which PK said was a 1-2 and a 1-2 in back-to-back years, if they had done that, then they would have given themselves 24.5 units. Cam Ward represents, according to the study, 10 units. And so I'm asking, okay, so why would Chad Brinker, again, I understand you, Mr. Tighten Up, you're saying, this is our guy, Jared. I understand why you would say that, but why would Chad Brinker, Mr. AI, Mr. Analytics, Mr. Business School, why would he spit in the face of all of that to draft Cam Ward? And I don't have an answer for that. I do wonder, but I have a theory. Reed, are you ready for my theory? And I will lay out my theory, Reed, and then you tell me if you think this is crazy.
Okay.
And this was not on the grid, Reed. Back me up on this. This was not
on
the grid,
this was
so
not,
you don't even know what
I was
this
just,
is.
No, I was just looking to see exactly where we are, and we're off the rails already.
Okay. So here's my theory. Because, again, what I said I would do is I said I would sign Sam Darnold to a contract. I would trade the pick. And I think you'd get even better offers than the Giants offer, because once you sign Sam Darnold, everybody and their grandma knows you're going to trade the pick. Sam Darnold signed for $37.5 million in cash this year from Seattle, with $27.5 million next year in cash. Screw the cap. We're not worried about the cap. It's fake. We're talking about the cash. So $37.5 for Darnold. Cam Ward, and they don't have the breakdown, so the values, there is a salary that goes with this, but I'm sure it's in like the $1 or $2 million range here. So let's just use the signing bonus. According to SpotTrack.com, Cam Ward, being the number one overall pick, is entitled to a $32 million signing bonus. That means that the second he signs that contract, Cam gets $32 million. My guess is Cam will make somewhere around $34, $35 million this year, and then the number decreases significantly once the signing bonus gets paid out. So Cam represents, let's just say, $32 million. Well, that's already a savings of $5.5 million right there before we even get to the $27 million next year. Now, Abdul Carter, by being the third pick, is entitled to a bonus of $29 million. And Jaden Higgins, who was the 34th pick in the draft, is entitled to a bonus of $5 million, 5.1 to be exact. That's $34 million. So just by taking 3 and 34, you're already paying in signing bonus money $2 extra million this year. Now, let's factor in next year's picks. I think the Giants are going to suck. Even if Cam Ward is the quarterback, even if Russell Wilson is the quarterback, even if Jackson Dart is the quarterback, I think they're going to suck. So, and I think most of us assume they're going to suck. Reed, do you assume they're going to suck?
You know, I when I went and looked at their schedule, it made me more upset that the Titans didn't take the trade.
Okay. So let's say it's the same money. Now, the money will go up next year because it goes up every year. But let's say it's just the same money for the third and 34th picks, and it's $34 million in signing bonus money. Again, that's what Carter and Higgins at 3 and 34 each got. So that's an extra $34 million because those are the Giants' picks. You still have your picks, so you're going to have to pay your picks, plus you're going to have to pay the Giants' picks. So that's an extra $34 million plus the $27.5 million that Sam Darnold is owed next year. Well, once you factor in the extra $34 million plus the $27.5 million plus the extra $5 million this year you have to pay Darnold, all of a sudden you're approaching the extra $34 million this year, $34 million next year, $27.5 million. You're approaching $95.5 million. Factor in the $5 million that Darnold's going to make this year more than Cam Ward, that's $100 million. If you sign Sam Darnold, or you sign Geno Smith, or you signed one of those guys, and what did Paul report at the combine? Paul said they would be interested in Darnold if the money came down. If you sign one of those guys, again, the going rate for a quarterback, for a franchise quarterback in the NFL right now, is $55-60 million. Like, that's what Brock Purdy is going to sign for. But if you sign Sam for the 37.5 or the 27.5, and I think Geno is in the 40s now with his new contract, if you sign Geno and you take the Giants picks and you pay them this year and you pay them next year and you pay the quarterback, that is $100 million extra dollars. And I don't think Amy Adams Strunk is in the business while she's building a stadium, but really, period, I don't think she's in the business of paying $100 million extra dollars. Read your thoughts.
Yeah, this is the Titans are a Timu franchise. They are not willing to spend that money. But I think this move was as much about box office more than it is about the box score. I don't think they were interested in winning the next two seasons. I think they were interested in making a pick or making off-season moves that they thought were going to sell tickets to the new stadium. Even though they say tickets are going fine and ticket sales are going fine, I still think this. Oh, yeah.
Reed,
no, absolutely.
That's even more nickel and dimey than just the, hey, if we got to pay, you know, $34 million twice in extra signing bonus money over the next 2 years, plus we're paying a quarterback because we're not drafting a quarterback. I mean, and it becomes $100 million. Like, that's one big $100 million, mm-hmm. is a lot of money. How much are they going to make in ticket sales, even if they're good, compared to whatever they already make to begin with? I don't think it's $100 million.
No, I don't think it is either, but I also don't pretend to know or think or come close to the train of thought that goes on in that building, especially from the top down.
Okay, so you don't think that the my theory about the $100 million is crazy?
I don't think it's crazy. No, not at all.
Okay, nope. That's why I think they did it, and everything else I think is bullcrap. I think they did it because Amy would not give them the money to truly be able to trade out of that pick and pay a quarterback. That's my theory. All right, phones on this. A lot of people want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. We'll do it next. Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game.
What we've seen over the last 5 years, but especially this year, everyone seems to be drafting players, the same players. So it's like going to a restaurant with 20 of your best friends, and there's 20 things on the menu, but all 20 of you are ordering one of the same three entrees. right? You're all getting the steak and you're all getting the pasta. Maybe a few guys are getting the crab cakes, but nobody's going after the vegetarian option.
Right.
And nobody's getting the lamb. Mm-hmm. Everybody's eating the same things. That's kind of what the draft has become in some ways. And I don't know if that's because of the incredible media coverage, all the so-called draft experts, right? All the people that are putting up mock drafts and consensus boards and things like that. But for me, the idea of having more picks means I have the chance of getting more players.
That was Eric DaCosta, the Ravens general manager, again, citing the loser's curse, which is a Penn study that says, don't worry about, oh man, we love this guy, but he's going to go at 17 and we're at 19. So let's do whatever it takes to get to 16. Don't worry about that. You're all picking the same ish caliber players. Don't worry about it. And the Titans essentially spitting in the face of it. So again, my theory is Chad Brinker probably would want to trade back with the Giants and sign a quarterback and build the team that way, but it would cost $100 million more in signing bonus money, and Amy's not interested in that. That's my theory. One texter says, and our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, this is dumb. Why keep talking about this? We've got Cam Ward. Let's move forward. They want to do it because, in all caps, because they like the quarterback. Do they? Like, again, they'll say how much they love Cam Ward, but if you're Brian Callahan, don't you look at Cam Ward as your get-out-of-jail-free card? I'm on the hot seat. I'm lucky to have kept my job. And if Mason Rudolph is my quarterback, or Will Levis is my quarterback, or whomever is, I'm getting fired. Brandon Allen. So, hey, you don't turn down a Cam Ward, because I can win 7 games with Cam Ward at quarterback and keep my job. I can't win 7 games with Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers and keep my job, but I can with Cam Ward. Again, everything Brinker stands for, AI, business school, analytics, we've done it. We took the business school study. We asked AI to break down the analytics for us, and analytics says that it would be, AI says that it would be, the trade with the Giants would be 24 and a half units compared to 10 units of drafting Cam Ward. Again, if Brinker stands for those things, then that would be his line of thought. Not, oh man, I love this quarterback and there's just nothing I can do except for take the quarterback. Adam in Portland says, what you said makes a lot of sense, but I don't think the Titans put that much thought into it. They just looked around and said, nobody's buying jerseys because no one likes anyone on this team, and panicked. They needed someone fans could rally behind, so they grabbed the biggest name they could get. It wasn't strategy, it was desperation. Nobody's lining up to buy a Jeffrey Simmons jersey. Most people are sick of him. Here's the deal when it comes to Sam Darnold, because I know you guys think he sucks. If they had signed him, you'd be buying Sam Darnold jerseys. And I know this because this time last year, you all were talking about Will Levis as a franchise quarterback. You guys were buying Will Levis jerseys. It's hilarious to me because last night I was just kind of screwing around and I did a search for a tweet from a year ago at training camp when Levis was god-awful against the Seahawks, and the amount of people that were just taking up for Levis. You would think that you people on Twitter, were related to him. And that's my poo-poo Johnson theory, which is the Titans could sign Poo-Poo Johnson, and you all would tell me about how great Poo-Poo was at rear end state. If they had signed Darnold, you all would change your tune. The distinguished gentleman who thought Rand was the smartest guy in the world, let Rand cook, was a Shedeur Sanders over Cam Ward fan, is now telling me, I'll hold you accountable, Jared, when Cam Ward balls out, I'm holding you accountable. Your quarterback went in the 5th round. What are you talking about? Hold me accountable. One texter says, so if Amy is that cheap and won't pony up the money necessary to make the team competitive, what options do the Titans have and their fans to boycott the team and hope she sells it? Very frustrated to support a team that you know will not be competitive in the modern day NFL because it is about mitigating risk and making a profit. First of all, drafting a quarterback, number one, is not mitigating risk. That is embracing risk. But as far as making a profit, again, the math we did, and it's rough-ish math, but I think it gives you an idea, would have added $100 million total over the next 2 years to the payroll. And that's without adding another single free agent or trading for more draft picks or anything else. So that's $50 million per season. According to SpotTrack, the Titans currently have a payroll of $239 million. So $50 million would put them at about 290, right? That would put you ahead of Jacksonville at 288, behind Chicago at 290. That's not too much to ask, is it? Miss Amy, can you pay as much as Jacksonville pays for their team? Thank you. Because if you want to beat Jacksonville, they're willing to pay. Carson says, Amy Adams Strunk reminds me of a narcissist. I disagree with that, by the way, but I'll continue to read the tweet or the text. Hires the crew to get the job done, but doesn't want to spend the money that she inherited to be good. If they were good, it would bring her more money if that's what she truly cares about. So I believe what happened was Robinson, Vrabel, and Amy all isolated themselves from each other and all started thinking that their poo didn't smell. And they all stuck their heads up their tushies, and they should have not done that. All of them, including her, including J-Rob, including Vrabel. And I believe that's why you're where you are now. Amy wanted to hire her general manager and her coach and her quarterback, and it went to crap because she doesn't know what she's doing. But I don't think she's a narcissist. I think that might be a little over the top. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into your phones. Plus, Bruce Arians penned a column for The Athletic about why young quarterbacks fail. But there was one thing about this story that I just could not get over. We'll get to that next. Dominic Company, 1025 The Game.